Good morning and welcome to Countrywide. On today's programme, harvesting corn in Wexford under the cover of darkness.
So I want to get this finished and the night is nice and dry, you know. Very good night for doing it. It's not damp now, but it's just getting that little bit puppy. With the sun will shine now to be freer, you know what I mean? Yeah.
We are whale and dolphin spotting off the Cork coast.
There's a feeding ritual going on ahead of us. It's probably sprats that they're feeding on here. There's a lot of sprats in this area yesterday. And you see ahead of us, they circle around and around and around, and they just drive the fish to where they want them to go.
Ahead of tomorrow's big game, we get the views of two former hurling farmers from Galway and Kilkenny.
If Galway progress the way they have been doing all along, and a little bit of an improvement from the Tipperary game, they will come out top by a couple of points.
It's the only goal in this match, I think, either way. Very, very hard to call. You know, it's 50-50, and I know people say, Kilkenny will win it, but, you know, it doesn't always work that way.
And later, live in studio, the president of the GAA, Aegan O'Farrell. You can text us on 51551, you can email countrywide@rte.ie, and you can follow us on Twitter at @RTEcountrywide. But first this morning, thousands of farmers from across Europe will gather in Brussels on Monday for a demonstration to coincide with the emergency meeting of farm ministers about the dairy price crisis across the continent. Irish farmers are set to join the French and Belgian and other European counterparts on Monday's march. But earlier this week, the IFA had a dress rehearsal of sorts, marching up Mound Street in Dublin to the new EU Commission office, demanding that the EU Commissioner, Phil Hogan, do more to address dropping dairy, grain and pig meat prices. Here's a flavour of some of the sounds and voices from that protest.
There's been a huge drop in margins for dairy producers in the last 6 to 9 months, and it's steadily declining at the moment. We need a margin for milk production, and it's not there at the moment.
I'm going to ask you to get your county signs up in the first place.
Get them up, lads, and hold them out straight.
Push on.
We have a trailer with pigs.
It's the price that we're receiving is so far below the cost of production. You can't carry on like that.
As our placard here in front highlights, the producer is getting 26 cents, whereas most retails is 1.26 per litre. It's unsustainable. The majority of people are producing their produce at the moment for below cost.
I think the pig is, he might be a bit hungry, is he? Ladies and gentlemen, what are we demanding? EU action on milk!
Yeah.
EU action on pig meat!
Yeah.
EU action on grain!
Yeah.
We're in a very difficult situation for Irish farmers. Product prices on the floor, grain, dairy, pig meat sector, all having incomes, non-existent incomes at this stage.
Between 800 and 900 million euro collected in super levy fines. There's your fund. That's what can be used in order to put the market back in balance and give that strong signal and do it straight away.
We have a letter we're going to give to Barbara Nolan, who runs this office now in a few minutes, for the commissioner. This commissioner has now got a challenge in front of him. Let's see him do his job.
Okay. This is for Commissioner Hogan. Right, okay, I'll make sure he gets it.
Appreciate that.
Right, thank you very much. Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.
I'm here today because of the income that our Irish farmers are getting, and our government is not really dealing with it properly. They need more supports from Europe, and they need more supports from Phil Hogan.
Because we have a crisis. We're selling milk for underproduction. We're losing milk in a week since the creamery. If they don't improve soon, there'll be no farmer there. All the dairy farmers will be giving up because they can't produce milk at a loss. There's too much milk in the country and they have no market for it.
Might he be out at night time?
I want to get this finished and the night is nice and dry, you know?
Okay.
Very good night for doing it.
And when did it start, people harvesting at night time?
As soon as these combines came into being, like, this wouldn't be that great now. It'd be okay, like, it wouldn't be LEDs, like. So you'd have a lovely bright light there now, do you know?
So the ordinary halogen lights aren't as good as the LEDs?
No, no.
Does he let you drive it?
Right, there's the thing. You can drive a combine, but you can't follow a combine. And follow means, like, I could get up and I could drive up and down the field, But if something subtly goes wrong, I won't pick up on it, but he'll pick up on it. So I can drive it, but he follows it. It's like if I handed him one of my guitars, he wouldn't have a clue what to do with it.
And you know the way in the ploughing championships, people are looking at other fellas and women ploughing and they can remark on how good they are.
All right, yeah.
If somebody was looking at you using the combine, what would they be saying? What would they be looking at?
They'd be looking to see why you're doing a good job of trashing. They'd be looking in the straw and see where you're throwing corn on the ground.
What's the difference between cutting at night and cutting in the daytime?
Jesus. What's the difference?
What happened there?
The grain started on order. I must have hit it with my hand or something there.
After distracting you. Are you after losing grain now?
I lost a bit of grain, which is gone now.
That could be for the rats, will it?
It will.
Well, over the last few weeks, Aircom has been asking communities in the so-called intervention footprint areas to tell them why they would benefit from a €250,000 investment in high-speed broadband. It's a competition we've been keeping an eye on in recent weeks, if you've been listening, because we do know that broadband connectivity is such a huge issue around the country. Now, two such communities who are looking for the investment and are making entries into the competition are the Munchaconnet community in County Cavan. Their spokesperson is Pather Gill, and Paddy O'Sullivan from the Alahees area in the Berra Peninsula in County Cork. So yesterday evening, we decided to ask them to explain to us what this investment would mean for their communities, and what better way to chat to them for a competition like this but across Skype.
Pather Gill, I'm involved with the Munchaconnet Community Broadband Project. And I'm talking to you today on Skype via my landline connection, which is about 1.5 megabit speed. In Munchaconnet, even though we're less than an hour from Dublin, we have only about 20 people connected to broadband via landline. It's very, very slow speed, and the rest of the people have to make do with some sort of a wireless solution.
The 3 minutes now just about up. Kilkenny 2:17 to 2:14.
What a second half, and credit to both teams. Tipperary never give up, but is that it? That's it.
Kilkenny have won the All-Ireland.
Tomorrow, most eyes across the country and a few around the world too will be on Croke Park for one of the highlights of the sporting year, the All-Ireland Hurling Finals. Arguably more than just a sporting occasion, but a celebration of our culture and heritage too.
Is this a chance for Galway? It certainly is. The point has been over the bar.
Now this week, I visited both Galway and Kilkenny to chat to two farming hurlers ahead of tomorrow's showdown. My first stop was to Dunamagan in County Kilkenny to meet 9-times All-Ireland winner and 3-time All-Star fullback Noel Hickey.
Coming out to take this one, Noel Hickey getting it away out as far as Brian Hogan, centre half back.
Noel was busy cutting a field of corn when I caught up with him, so I jumped into the cab to have a chat. Noel, how are you doing?
Good, Damien. Good, thanks.
You're what are you at here in the field? I'm up in the combine with you.
I'm cutting a bit of malt and barley here now at the moment, Damien, so just finished the winter wheat, so just getting going on this now.
Right, so really busy time of the year for you.
Busy time, yeah. It was slow to get going. The weather was very disagreeable, but hopefully now this week looks good, so we should get a lot of work done this week.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering, I mean, how did you combine the hurling? Because this was always a busy time of the year, especially if you're from Kilkenny.
Yeah, I suppose I didn't know any different since I came out of school. I was hurling County Minor, County 21 into Senior, so it's always just part of my life, kind of just going in training and that, and it just made time for it really, so
yeah.
We used to have a contractor used to cut the corn for me, but I combined there a few years ago, so I suppose it coincided with me finishing with inter-county really.
On Monday last, the IFA had a protest in Dublin, and I thought initially it was dairymen complained about price, but then I discovered that there was a lot of tillage farmers as well up there, and they were telling me that things are bad. Is that the case?
Yeah, well at the moment the price is right down. We just got, I suppose on Wednesday this week, we got a text from Glanbia. I suppose they had a dry price of wheat at 166, which will come back to about €130 for wheat, for green wheat,
right,
which would be a very bad price. So, you know, like at them kind of price, I suppose, to be hard to keep going. I know yields are up this year, the good yields this year, right? And there was option to forward sell there earlier on the year, which I took a bit of, so I kind of covered myself a bit. But
yeah,
you know, like the price at today's prices, if you're only getting poorish yields, you know, it'd be very hard to keep going. Like if you take barley there, Wednesday was 122.25.
Yeah.
Sure, a three ton crop swing barley, do the maths and dash, and a ton would go on fertilizer alone. So, yeah, you know, yeah.
So how do you think it'll go on Sunday? I know now you're not gonna build Kilkenny up too much, but I suppose even a neutral will find this one more difficult to call.
Yeah, it's definitely hard to call. Galway, I suppose, this year they started off poorly against Dublin, I suppose, the first match, but in the replay against that match, even before the match, just listen to Anthony Cunningham on the television, just his frame of mind and what he was saying sounded good, and you could see it in Galway that day. They're tackling, they're so aggressive, not leaving any Dublin a second on the ball, and they've kind of continued that on through the rest of the championship, and I'd imagine they'll do it again in the All-Ireland. So they're coming with great momentum.
Yeah,
there's good pace about them, they're physically strong, so they've nothing to lose either. Like, you know, their forwards, be it Jason Ford, Kyle Mannion, they're young lads, but I know myself, when I started off I was only 19 playing in All-Ireland, and I was more relaxed going into that than I was playing in All-Ireland at 30 years of age.
Right.
So they've Galway have nothing to lose, just going to turn Kilkenny, but at the same time, Kilkenny, you know, will be coming in. They'll have a good frame of mind, they'll be fairly relaxed with the whole thing, and they'll know what to do. So I don't think it'll be any more than, there'll only be a goal in this match, I think, either way.
Right.
You know, it'll be very close. The same with Galway before against Kilkenny. You know, they got on a run and they have beaten Kilkenny over the last, you know, a couple of times over the last few years. So I know people say, ah, Kilkenny will win it, but, you know, it doesn't always work that way. And
it, you know, there wasn't a draw for years and years. Then three came along together.
Yeah.
Who knows? There could be a fourth.
Who knows?
Could be another draw.
Hard to imagine it, but you never know.
You never know. Okay, look, I'm holding you up here because you've... How many acres in this field?
There's just 16 in this one, Damon. So
how many?
16.
16, right.
So
and how long will it take you now?
I will have it done now in a few hours here.
In a few hours, right. So you'll be
that's
at it until the evening anyway. Right. I'm holding you up.
Noel,
the very best of luck.
Okay,
in the future with farming. Thanks for having the chat, and I hope you have a bountiful harvest.
Good man, Damien. No water.
Thank you. All right, thanks, Noel.
No water, Damien.
See you soon.
Man.
See you, Noel. Bye. From Dunamagan in County Kilkenny, I made my way west to get the Galway view. Tomorrow in Croke Park, Joseph Cooney will be hoping to emulate the 1980s successes of his father, Joe, by winning an All-Ireland medal. His uncle, Jimmy Cooney, was also a winner with Galway as a cornerback on the 1980 team.
Eamon trying to get it there, but Jimmy Cooney's there.
Right. Jimmy is a farmer, and he's also the mart manager in Loughrea, where he was overseeing the weekly sheep sale when I dropped by on Thursday.
155.
Jimmy, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, doing good.
Very good. Sheep sale going on here, and you've a lot of pens. Busy?
Yeah, busy time of the year for the sheep farmers, And, you know, this time of the year, they're coming out with their lambs. They're also coming out with their yohoggets for a breeding season. So it's a busy time of the year.
Yeah, and it's a real old-style sort of sale that's going on. We have the auctioneer standing up here on top of one of the pens. We can hear him in the background. There's no microphone or anything like that.
Well, this mart was opened in 1971, so I suppose it's one of the older marts. And yes, they do stand up over the pens there and sell the sheep out from there.
What's the trade like?
Well, trade apparently is good because most farmers are sold, and if the farmer is not happy, he won't sell. So most of the sheep got sold today, so that's good. The lambs are fetching over €2 a kilo. The store lamb would be roughly around the €2. Your hoggets are going up to €197, which is good for breeding sheep, right. and 3-year-old yours are making €150.
So has all the talk apart from prices here been about the match on Sunday?
I've never heard anything like it. Nearly everybody you meet, they want to talk about the hurling on Sunday. And Galway are very excited, of course, because after the win over Tipperary, they're really looking forward to this one with Kilkenny.
You'd be very trenchant of in your criticism of the Sunday game, saying it's negative, predictable and tiresome. What had you so annoyed, Egan?
Well, it was in response to a question that I was asked at where I was launching Dropout within the GAA. And I had a half-hour discussion, and it was a two-minute interview, the two-minute question that within that. So
blown out of proportion, so?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm simply putting it in the context that I was asked a specific question, though, on a particular comment about a particular county. And I did say, and I would stand over, that I think it's important that there's punditry. I think it's important that there's criticism. We all should be big enough to take that. As I said, the GAA has the biggest attendance of any competition this weekend, today and tomorrow. So it's natural that we attract significant media attention, and the more the better. I would say over 750,000 people will watch the RTE coverage of the game this afternoon, and that's absolutely wonderful. I think that criticism, when it's personal, that's what I would say, and that's rare. It doesn't happen too often, but on occasions, criticism of counties in general, criticism of players and indeed administrators has sometimes moved from general to personal criticism. I've never yet met a player that goes out to deliberately play badly. I've never met a referee who deliberately makes a wrong call. I see referees make wrong calls. I see players play badly, but I don't think it's deliberate.
But isn't there an onus as the public broadcaster to reflect the opinions and the views of our viewers and of our listeners? And go into any pub this evening and you'll hear personal criticism
as such. Absolutely, absolutely.
And I mean, you could turn the argument on its head and say that nobody has done more to promote and glorify Gaelic games in the last 30 years than the Sunday game.
Absolutely. I have no hesitation in saying that, and I watch it and enjoy it. Yeah. I'm simply saying that when it's...
Bouncing across the waves outside Baltimore, Cork, I'm sharing a boat with 10 other enthusiasts of cetaceans, otherwise known as whales and dolphins. Micheál Cottrell is the skipper of this sea safari, and right on schedule we spot a pod of short-beaked common dolphin.
See them splashing up and down, and there's a feeding ritual going on ahead of us. It's probably sprats that they're feeding on here. There's a lot of sprats in this area yesterday. And you see ahead of us, they circle around and around and around, and they just drive the fish to where they want them to go. And by doing that, fish form what they call a bait ball, where they all believe to be in the middle is to be safest, and it gets tighter and tighter, and it actually makes it easier for them to feed through it. So just here alongside of us, look.
You can see them jumping up. Are they quite sociable, Micheál? Do they like boats, or do they move away?
They would. When they're feeding, they just stick to their business, but there's times when they just come up to the boat and they'd bow ride the boat and they'd travel along with them, yeah. They like it. A lot of time they do it to ships and boats. It's an energy saving. You know, they just ride along in the pressure wave.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And they come in like that, they just have a quick look at us, and then they pull away out and continue on with their feeding again.
And how many would be in these groups?
It varies. It varies from, could be four or five animals up to 1,000 animals.
Oh, they're just under there.
I think you're showing off this one.
They
are.
Whatever it is about dolphins, they do make you smile and appreciate that deep in these waters there are creatures as bright or possibly brighter than us. And then we saw it, the sliver of a minke whale fin in the distance.
Food is a big thing. That's what they're in for, is feed. All the whales coming to Irish coastline are all here for feed, whereas other places like California and stuff, you get whales arriving there for mating and things, but this, it's all to do with feed here. So the more the abundance of feed, the more activity they have, the more whales are in.
Leaving our whale behind, there was plenty more of interest around this fascinating coastline in what is now a special area of conservation. The seagrass beneath our boat is a protected asset, harnessing CO2 and recycling nutrient back into the marine and subsequently the human population.
People have lived in the islands here for thousands of years. Up on top of Cape Lear, you have a megalithic standing stone up high. There's some more down inside in the field below there. And up high in the big hill above where the pylons are, there was a passage grave above there on top of the hill, which was aligned towards the rising sun of the summer solstice, and it's dating back close to 5,000 years. I'm just going to go in between the two islands here. There's an island just ahead of us. There's an Atlantic grey seal colony at the island there. It's called Corrigmore, so we'll go in for a look.
That's all we have time for this week. Our producer today was Ian Lee. Broadcast coordinator was Louise Denver, and on sound, Dave Gibson. Coming up after the 9 news here on RT Radio 1 is Playback with Marion Richardson. Enjoy all the matches this weekend, and until I talk to you at the same time next week, bye-bye and thanks for listening.